إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، أما بعد. As everyone knows, these days the Muslim community, the Ummah, internationally, we're faced with a lot of issues. Issues in Somalia, issues in Palestine, Iraq, Afghanistan, and other than that, local and international. And all of those issues are important. And it's the responsibility of those people who give the khutbah to address the Muslims as it relates to these issues, that we need to know how to deal with them, how not to be a part of the problem, but to be part of the solution, how to deal with it. And no doubt I can come here on this day before you on the auspicious day of Al-Jum'ah, the one day of the week where we all come together in order to get some instruction about our deen. And I can talk about those issues that are extremely highly critical and important. But for a person from amongst you in this Jama'ah to stand up and to say, Wallahi, Allah is going to ask all of us about Palestine, he's lying. Allah may ask you about Palestine and he may not ask you about Palestine. There are some people who are directly responsible for what's going on there as it relates to the Muslims. But for a person to say, Wallahi, Allah is going to ask you and you and you and me about Palestine or Somalia, some of these issues are out of our control. The least that we can do is just make dua. That's all some of us can do as it relates to some of these issues. But I want to talk to you about an issue that, Wallahi, Allah is going to ask every single one of us about it. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he said, Inna awwala ma yuhasaba bihi al-abdu yawm al-qiyamati min amalihi salatuhu. Fa'in salahat aflaha wa anjaha wa'in fasadat khaba wa khatir. The very first thing that Allah is going to ask the slave about yawm al-qiyamah from all of his actions, from all of his deeds, will be his salat. And if he did his salat correctly, he performed them on time and he performed them correctly, mechanically as well with the khushur, then as a result of that, he's going to be successful and he's going to be in a position of goodness. But if he didn't perform his salat correctly, if he made the salat mechanically incorrect, without ikhlas, without khushur, then he's going to come yawm al-qiyam and he's going to have problems. His deeds are going to be rendered null and void. That salat is going to be thrown back at him in his face. So I say here, Wallahi, Allah is going to ask every single one of us about this issue, about the salat and how it was performed. Now as an ummah, we find that Palestine, Somalia, Iraq, Afghanistan, all of these issues, they come as a result, a direct result, that this ummah has abandoned the salah. The second most important pillar in al-Islam. The vast majority of Muslims, Wallahu A'lam, they do not pray. Everyone out there, just take a close look at those people who you know from your relatives, your immediate family, and your extended family and your neighbors. This ummah has abandoned the salah. ثُمَّ جَاءَ مِنْ بَعْدِهُمْ خُلُوفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ, as Allah mentioned in the Quran. And then there came after the religious people, the righteous people of yesterday, a group of people who abandoned the salah. That's our condition. And the companions, radiallahu anhum, they did not see the abandonment of anything as kufr other than the salah. And the Muslim ummah has abandoned the salah. So it's no secret that we have all of these trials and tribulations. Somalia and other than Somalia, the ummah abandoned the salah.
And then we have the minority of Muslims who do pray. That minority who do pray, many of us don't pray in accordance to what the Prophet commanded, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to the Muslim community, to his companions, من توضأ كما أمر وصلى كما أمر فقد غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Anyone who makes wudu the way he was commanded, anyone who makes salat the way he was commanded, then he will be forgiven for his sins. Not only that, there are other ahadith that suggest anyone who makes wudu and salat the way he was commanded, when he walks to the masjid, he gets so many hasanat and he gets so many sayyi'at taken off of him. Whoever makes wudu the way he was commanded and salat the way he was commanded, he'll get his dua accepted. It will be a kafara and so many other issues just for performing the wudu correctly and performing the salat correctly. So many of us have learned how to make salat. And we learn from our parents. But we need some detox, because if you compare the salat that many of the Muslims are making to the salat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a marked contrast between the two. So that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the khatib and the imam and the leader of the Muslims, did he preoccupy them with issues that were important at the expense of issues that were right in front of their faces and their noses, like the importance of the salat? Kalla, he didn't do that. He came out to the people in a great large assembly. Could have been Yawm al-Jum'ah, Allahu A'lam. The men were there and the women were there. And he got on this minbar, his minbar, he faced the Qibla, and he performed the salah in front of the people. With ikhlas, he wasn't showing off. He performed the salah in front of the people. When he wanted to perform the sajda, he descended from the three steps and made sajda, and then he got back on the minbar, and then he completed his salat in front of all of the people, and then he told them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray the way you just saw me praying. Pray the way you just saw me praying. Because the first thing Allah is going to ask you about, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, Yawm al-Qiyamah, from all of your actions will be your salat. And Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَتَرَكْتُمْ مَا خَوَّلْنَاكُمْ وَرَاءَ ظَهُورِكُمْ. Each and every one of you will come to me individually, just like I created you the first time, by yourself. You're going to come and you're going to leave behind everything we put in your possession in the dunya. So when you stand before Allah Yawm al-Qiyamah to be questioned about your salah, Allah is not going to ask you about Abu Hanifa. Allah is not going to ask you about Al-Imam al-Shafi'i or any other imam in this dunya. He's going to ask you, when you're barefooted, naked, and uncircumcised, what about your salah? And you have to answer. And if you say Abu Hanifa, my imam, fulan and fulan, you're going to be questioned with that hadith. Pray as you just saw me praying. So before mentioning some of the points that I want to discuss here today, this hadith, pray as you see me praying, you have to consider a few points from it. Some of the points that I want to mention, and a lot of things that can be mentioned, is number one, he didn't show off in front of the people. He prayed to teach the people, just like you and I should pray the sunnahs in our house, and pray some salats in our house, so that our children can see us. Pretend they will copy what you're doing. And that's not riyah showing off. Another point about this salat, praying in front of the people, is that in the madhhab, it is mentioned in certain madhhab, if the person is praying and he moves three times, his salat is no good. Batalat salatuhu. He wants to scratch his beard once. He puts his hand down twice. He wants to do it again. Three, khalas, they say you have no salat. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got off of the minbar that had three stairs, three steps, main sajda, got back on the minbar, and that consisted of more than three movements, which goes to show that the kalam of the madhhab is not always right. And if it goes against what the Prophet did and said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are you going to say, Yawm al-Qiyamah? My imam, my madhhab. The last point concerning this hadith Pray as you see me praying. And this is for the women of this community. The women of this community who hear my voice right now. And those of you who are married, those of you who have daughters, why did he get on the minbar? He could have prayed down there. On the ground, on the floor, level with the people. But just like on the day of Jummah, with a large assembly, he wanted those in the back to be able to see his illustration. And who were those in the back? Those in the back were the Nisa of the Ummah at that time. And he told those women, pray as you see me praying. But when you go to the books of the Madhab, and we love the Madhab, and we love all of the Imma of the Madhab, when you go to the books of the Madhab says that the woman has to pray like this, she has to pray like that, when she makes sajda, she should do this, she should do that, and what the Madhab says goes against the Sunnah. He told us, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, إِذَا سَجَدَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلَا يَفْتَرِشْ إِفْتِرَاشَ الْكَلْبِ. If any of you make sajda, then do not make the sajda and sit down the way the dog sits down. أَكْرَمَكُمُ اللَّهِ. قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا يَبْسِتُ أَحَدُكُمْ إِنْبِسَاطِ الْكَلْبِ. When you people make salat, don't stretch yourselves out like the dog stretches himself out. When the dog sits down, his forearms are on the ground. When the dog sits down or he lies down, his backside is on the ground. Some of the madhab say, this is the way the woman should pray. Because it's more apt, it's more better, it's more Islamic, it's more in tune with the haya of the woman. When you stand before Allah to be questioned about your salah, whoever prays the way he was commanded, his sins will be forgiven. So who are you going to follow? The madhab or the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Now I want to advise the minority of, the majority of this ummah who don't pray. Those of us who do pray. There are some issues that are going on amongst us that we may render our salat null and void. And it may be because you just didn't know. I want to bring it to your attention. And if you're falling into this, don't think that I'm speaking to you in a condescending fashion. And don't allow anyone to look at you to make you embarrassed when you walk out of this masjid. Ad-deenun nasiha. You didn't know. That's my interpretation. And no one is complete and no one is perfect. The men of this ummah, you want to come yawmul qiyamah and you want to receive the rewards of your efforts of all of these salats. We don't want to be of those people who Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَقَدِّمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَهُ هَبَاءٍ مَنْثُورًا. We will come to their deeds, yawmul qiyamah, and we will make their deeds scattered particles of no avail, of no benefit. He made a lot of salah, but it was no benefit. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about something that we're falling in, a lot of us. He said sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, من أسفل إزاره في صلاته فليس من الله في حل ولا حرم. Anyone who makes salat from the mid, and he makes salat and his clothes are musbil, his thobe, his trousers, his izar is below his ankle bone, then Allah won't have anything to do with him. It's not permissible to be musbil outside of the salat. And it's not permissible to be musbil inside of the prayer. He said in another authentic hadith, addressing the same issue, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا يَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ إِلَى صَلَاةِ رَجُلٍ صَلَّى مُسْبِلًا. Allah will not look at the salat of a man who prays while he is musbil. His pants, his trousers go below his ankle bone. That was one of the practices of the people of arrogance during the times of al-Jahiliyyah. That's why many of those hadiths say, whoever lowers his garments out of arrogance. Some people may say, well, I'm musbil now and it's not out of arrogance. The Prophet told his companion, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِيَّاكَ وَإِسْبَالَ الْإِزَارِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنَ الْمَخِيلَةِ. When Allah لا يحب المخيلة, beware of having your clothes musbil, because that in and of itself is arrogance. And Allah doesn't love arrogance. So as a Muslim man, It is not permissible for you to pray like that. And if you pray and you're Muslim, you run the risk of your salat not being accepted Yawmul Qiyamah when you stand before Allah by yourself. Is this applicable to the women? Kalla. This is a difference where the women have a dalil to be different from the men. She can be Muslim. She should be Muslim. In salat and outside of the salat. So now, some of us know that al-Islam makes isbal impermissible. So when we come to the masjid, you'll find many men rolling up their pants, rolling up their trousers. And that's an effort on their part that inshallah, Allah will bless them for their niyyah. But that is also not enough as it relates to the salah. The Messenger of Allah told this community, the men of this community, and what was collected by the Imam Muslim, rahimahullahu ta'ala, umirtu an la ukuffu thawban wala sha'ran fi salah. I have been commanded not to roll up my clothes and not to roll up my hair in the salah. So if he performed wudu and he rolled up his sleeve before making the salat, he will be sure to unroll his sleeve. So the one who rolls up his pants, not permissible to make salat with your pants rolled up in the deen of al-Islam. Not permissible for our shabab who braid their hair and they go around like the hip hoppers with their hair braided. I don't say braiding the hair is haram. He did that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he used to travel. But some scholars said it was abrogated, and some say it only can and should be done if you're traveling, and some say if you're making salat, you have to take it out. As for the woman, she can have her hair braided. That's a distinction between her and the men. So the point here is, it is not permissible for the Muslim man to pray musbil, and it's not permissible for him to try to rectify his isbal by rolling up his pants. If he has a short sleeve shirt on, he can pray with short sleeve shirts. The point is not to roll your clothes up while you're making salat. In addition to that, ikhwan, from what I want to bring to your attention, and this is a hadith, a message of Ahlul Hadith, people who should want to explain these issues and educate the community. We don't want to be like any ordinary Muslim community that is just this is what our parents used to do. So we're going to march 8 miles around the city of Birmingham, showing our love for the Messenger of Allah, because this is what our parents did. Not because it makes sense, not because it has dalil. This is not the way of Ahlul Hadith. And the way of Ahlul Hadith is not to make fitna for the people as well. We acknowledge and recognize the level of the people and the understanding, and we don't want to run the people away. But until when? Another 30 years before we let the people know what the sunnah is. Another 30 years. From what we should consider, from the way of the people of the sunnah, is the issue that many people neglect. They fail to consider when they make the salah. Ummat al-Islam, those of you who love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those of you who want to be raised up yawm al-qiyamah to do easy, simple things that were in your ability. You may not make qiyam al-layl, you may not fast Monday and Thursday, but this easy, simple thing you can do, and that is to always pray towards the sutra. To always, when you pray, to pray towards the sutra, unless you have an imam, and the sutra of the imam is your sutra. But if you pray by yourself, or if you pray as the imam, you have to have a sutra. It should be second nature for the one who prays, the man and the woman. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-Aam, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet told him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تصلي إلا إلى سترة ولا تدع أحدا يمر بين يديك فإن أبى فلتقاتله فإنه شيطان. He said to this companion, he said to us, if you pray, do not pray except towards a sutra, and do not allow anyone to pass between you and your sutra, in front of you and your sutra. And if you try to stop someone and he insists on passing, then fight him while you're praying. Prevent him with strength. Some people may say, Al-Iraq, Al-Iraq, Palestine, Palestine, the Khilafah, Al-Jihad. All of that is important. All of that is important. But the sutra is not lesser in degree of importance because it's right in front of your nose. and you're going to be asked about it, and it's from the Sunnah. Do not pray except that you pray towards something that will be a sutra for you, a wall, a chair, even a human being. Umar radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa. He completed his zikr after making the salah. He was leaving the masjid. He saw a man praying without a sutra. Umar radiallahu anhu sat in front of that man, facing the Qibla. He didn't face the man so that the man would seem as if he praying towards Umar. The companions were far away from Kufa. He put his back towards the man and he faced the Qibla. After the man completed the salat, Umar radiallahu anhu told this hadith that I just said to you. If you pray, then do not pray except for the sutra. The Khalifa Umar. Time is of essence to him. If it wasn't important, he wouldn't have wasted his time. He saw another man praying to other than the sutra, just praying. Umar came behind the man and moved the man over and put him behind one of the pillars in the masjid. And you're going to tell me it's not important? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray, and the sheep would try to walk in front of the Prophet. The sheep that is not mukallafa, the shaykh, doesn't have any mind, has been put here for mankind. The Messenger of Allah saw the sheep, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one narration, he stopped the sheep. In another narration, he walked all the way to the front, to the stomach touched the wall, so that the sheep can walk behind him, to prevent the sheep from walking in front of his sutra. Between him and his sutra, he stopped the boy, he stopped the girl, little baby, toddler. And you're going to tell me it's not important? So praying towards the sutra, ya ibadallah, it is a part of the salat in al-Islam. Second nature. Just like no one is going to get up to make wudu without praying, he's not going to make salat without wudu. Second nature. What can I use to be a sutra? And the sutra should be something that is high enough that when the people see it, they know this is the sutra of that man. It shouldn't be a trophy. It shouldn't be a taqiyah. It shouldn't be a piece of paper. It shouldn't be a pen. It should be high enough. So when the person sees you, he says that microphone is the sutra. That wall, that chair, that person is the sutra. In addition to that, ikhwani, from what I want to bring to your attention, is that when the Messenger of Allah used to make the salat, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray the way you saw me praying. He used to make the salat and he used to fix his eyes upon the place of a sajda. The place where he made his prostration was the place where he kept his eyes throughout the salat, except in one circumstance. If we have time, we'll come to that inshallah. There are those of us, when we pray, we're looking all around. When we pray, we're looking down the line. When he's praying the sunnah by himself, and you're walking out of the masjid, and you see him praying, and he's in the salat of the sunnah, he's looking at you, walking out of the masjid. If you wave to him, he'll wave back to you, and he'll acknowledge you, while he's making the salat. The Prophet said about that individual, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ يَخْتَلِثُ مِنْ صَلَاتِ الْعَبْدِ. That is the shaitan who is stealing from the salat of the slave. Al-ikhtilas. It means someone comes and robs something from you and you're not aware. You don't even know about it. So you stand before Allah Yawm al-Qiyamah to be judged about your salat. The very first thing. And you get there thinking you have some good behind you. But then you'll come to find out a shaitan ripped you off. A shaitan robbed you. And you weren't aware. You were looking around in the salat. Those of us, when we make the rukur, and I'm not telling anybody to watch the man next to you, pay attention to your own self. Rectify your own self. But in the rukur, when he used to make rukur, his back used to be straight, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he used to concentrate on the place of sajda. In our rukur, there are those people who are looking between their legs, looking down like that. That's not the salat of the Nabi of al-Islam. You learned how to make salat. And Abu Sam is not here to talk bad about your parents. But I'm telling you, anyone who grew up learning salat from his parents, from our brothers who came back to the deen, most of them will tell you, when they learned the salat of the Nabi, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, there were a lot of contradictions between what they learned and what their parents taught them. We have to detox ourselves. We have to go and learn about the Salat of the Nabi of Al-Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone may say, Palestine, the Khilafah, Al-Iraq, and all of that oil money that they are stealing from the Muslims. All of that is important. Wallahi, it's important. But where to fix your eyes in the Salat is just as important as it relates to you. And it's not an insignificant issue. The Messenger of Allah told this Ummah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if some people don't stop looking around while they're praying, it may be that Allah is going to snatch their eyesight away from them. Insignificant. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the Ghafoor, Al-Latif, snatches someone's eyesight away from him because of something that's insignificant. No, kalla lillahi, that's not true. Not true. So brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, you sisters in Al-Islam, all of us, we have to detox ourselves. We have to go back and read what was the Salat of the Nabi of Al-Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we don't come Yawm al-Qiyamah only to find that Shaitan robbed many of us of our issue. أَقُولَ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَنَسْأَلَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى التَّوْفِيقَ وَالثَّبَاتِ. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi amma ba'du. A lot of issues, ikhwani, can be dealt with from this minbar today, but the time doesn't allow. Suffice it to say, gaining knowledge is an obligation upon all of us. The elders from amongst us, those who were born and raised as Muslims, reavers, white, black, women, everybody has to learn his religion. Learn about those issues that are going to be important to you when you stand before Allah Azza wa Jal, barefooted, naked, and uncircumcised, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And even those of you who feel that you know how to pray according to the sunnah mechanically, you still have to put in the jihad and put in the work to learn the different aspects of what he used to do. Because part of being from the sunnah is doing as much as you can possibly do from what he did. And he used to make the salat and used to do different things at different times. He would read different dua. You know how to pray, but encourage yourself and make jihad to learn all of those dua and istiftah. And other than that, learn the different things that he used to do. And what he would do a lot, you do it a lot. And what he used to do sometimes, you do it sometimes. From what he used to do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in different ways, ikhwani, is the Messenger of Allah, when he made the taslim, he used to do it three different ways. He used to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the right, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then to the left, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Do that. And he used to do at another time, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Do that so that Yawm al-Qiyamah you'll be raised up amongst the people of the Sunnah. And then he used to do a third thing, and he used to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, assalamu alaykum. And that's it. We tried this taslim one time in this masjid, and there was a volcano. Although we presented to our elders the proof, there was a volcano. It was from the Sunnah, and the people were upset. We never heard about it in 30 years. Our Imam didn't tell us. Is that what causes us to take the Sunnah or reject it, that we didn't hear it for 30 years? You heard it now. Now I wanted to do this taslim today. Assalamu alaikum, one time. And I brought out the paper so that if anybody wanted to see, I would give it to them. But I was advised, don't do it. Don't do it. And I'm not here to make fitna. I'm here to say to you people, you Muslims, especially the people of Ahlul Hadith, and we love all of the Muslims. I'm here to say, until when are we going to continue to be afraid to introduce the Sunnah to our people, the people of Al-Islam? Until when? When? I find it amazing. Yes, we don't want fitna, but until when? So I'm going to take the advice of don't do it. It's not time yet. Wallahi, I don't know when the time is going to come. Another 30 years, 60 years in the making for a simple issue. And those brothers who are out there from West Africa, you go to West Africa, Mali, Senegal, you pray in their masjid. although they don't follow the sunnah by praying with their hands down, you'll find them practicing this sunnah of one taslim. As-salamu alaykum. And because you never heard it before, you say, what are these people doing? Our brothers from the Ahnaf, they're the only Muslims, the only madhab, that after Salat al-Isha, they sit down on their knees. The elders remain on their knees, and they make two rakats of sunnah on their knees. That's from the sunnah. So every madhab is doing certain things that are against the correct way of the sunnah, and every madhab, they're doing things that are not, that are for the sunnah. The point is, we have to bring it all together. Brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, learn the Salat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the best books that I know of is the book Sifatul Salat al-Nabi by Al-Imam Al-Albani. I don't agree with everything in the book, but in terms of trying and getting to learn how to pray, it's one of the best books that you can get. But we ask Allah Ta'ala to cause this khutbah to be an inspiration to each and every one of you, to spark in your mind and in your heart the desire to come to learn how to pray this most important rukun from the arkan of Al-Islam. And I'm not talking down or about anyone, madhab or other than that. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make it easy for us and easy for you. And may He make us of those people who are truthful in word and deed. May Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive us all for our shortcomings and our indiscretion. And may He make the sunnah of the Prophet al-Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam more beloved to us than our fathers and our children and our cultures and our madhab. May Allah Ta'ala plant our feet firmly upon the kalima of Tawheed and the Tiba of the Sunnah. And may He protect us from the innovation of that picture of Islam, innovation of shirk, and other than that.